Salsa, this is why we need you. Because you're the asshole.
Because I'm the asshole that's okay with taking the last piece of cake from the fucking break room.
That. Otherwise, that cake goes bad. And it takes 5 hours.
That cake goes bad, and it starts shooting up a nursing home, and wearing leather coats and voting for Trump. It's awful.
This and is why we need still come in and cut it in half. Take that in half. Jesus. Fuck Minnesotans. That's how I feel about that.
All right, then.
Also, greet Apropossi and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Woo! With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And special guest.
Jessa. Jenna's daughter.
My daughter's here.
I am officially of drinking age, which is, I think this is the first time that I have been on the podcast. Which is
weird, I think it's the first time you've been on the podcast at a drinking age, yeah.
I feel like you're only now drinking to be better than me at yet another thing.
at what step in this process? I'm confused.
I don't know, but you'll figure it out. I have no doubt in my mind.
Because currently, James, I don't like anything.
My 6-year-old son is better than you in most things.
Well, wow.
I mean,
but has anybody brought it up at the urinal? Because that's important.
God.
Jesus.
I mean, I tell him at the urinal that he's better than James.
Okay.
I believe this is why Salsa's not allowed to talk to me in bathrooms, by the way.
Yes,
because otherwise he'll compare you to his son?
Constantly.
It's not because James is weird about mundane things.
Oh, yes. I'm definitely the one who's weird about mundane things.
Yes.
I am. But also...
I'm just going to let them go, Jessa. I'm just going to let them keep bickering. It's very adorable.
Well, let's poll people. Jenna, do you have a problem with talking to people at the urinal?
I don't generally use a urinal. But I think... All right. So I've never had the opportunity to use a restroom wherein there wasn't a wall in between me... Yeah, a partition of some sort in between me and the next person over. With that partition, I definitely have no issues. I will talk to people when I'm in the next stall.
Okay.
Biffs. That's fine. But I don't, I've never had the opportunity. So I guess I don't actually know. It might be weird. Might not be weird.
I just heard her say the way you're. She just said no, James.
I'm aware.
What are you drinking, Jenna?
Oh my god. I am drinking y'all know about my Naked Wines subscription.
Yep. That sentence ended very differently.
Than
I had expected. But yes. Yeah.
But yes, that thing. I finally had them send me the last of the wines that I had pre-done and cut off that subscription because I was like, in the state of Minnesota, you can only have 2 cases of wine delivered to you every year.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Why? I don't know.
Because blue laws are fucking stupid. Right. That's why.
Uh-huh. So anyway, I told them, I was like, look, I would continue this, but like... I don't like having to have this shipped over to my boyfriend's and then like another friend's house every couple of months. Like it's starting to make me feel like I'm actually an alcoholic and I'm not good with this. So I'm just going to cancel this subscription. But
you're thinking about this all wrong. You could pretend to be like a moonshiner or something
That's where my brain went too. Like
you could pretend to be a rum runner.
Prohibition era booze smugglers.
Yes! How much fun would that be?
have them delivered to the caves in St. Paul.
You could dress up real classy and hold your cigarette at the end of one of those, like, extenders.
In a flapper costume? Oh, yeah.
I own all of this,
delivery of wine
by
from
the way.
your boyfriend's you flapper dress.
Mm-hmm.
No, well, see, I should've... you're going about this all wrong.
Yeah, no, they didn't bring that up as a possibility. I didn't think of it. I'm going to say it's partially my fault and partially them for not thinking of the marketability on that.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Anytime I can blame somebody else, I will. Let's be clear about that. So, but yeah, so I got my last batch and they're like, well, what do you want for your last batch then? And I was like, all of the bubbly. Give me all of the bubbly. Because I am going to be making mimosas from here until next September.
Why you got OJ?
That's why. That's why I was looking for shelf stable OJ. Yes.
Well, it was strange because I'm like, she doesn't tend to drink juice. If she's going to drink anything flavored, it's going to be tea.
Right. Mm-hmm. I am a huge tea person. Yes, you are now just now putting the pieces together, my daughter.
That's
amazing. Is that what you have then?
So, actually, this is not the orange juice. This is the peach mango V8.
Whoa!
With some bubbly, and holy fuck, do I recommend this? This is delightful on the palate. And it's V8, so I feel like I'm being healthy about it.
That's why I drink Bloody Marys. They're good for you.
Yeah, see? It's like a meal, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, peach mango V8, pretty damn tasty, especially with bubbles.
That does sound good.
Yeah. So that's what I'm having. Basically a mimosa, but like, not orange juice. I think that's called something else, but meh, fuck it.
A mixed drink.
There are cocktails that are champagne and tea. There are cocktails that are champagne and tea. So that might be a way to go.
Really?
Possibly.
Yeah, that might be a thing.
I mean, I just like drinking tea. I don't have to put booze into it.
I thought you were just going to stop at the word drinking. I just like drinking.
I just like drinking.
I mean, that was pretty implied when she got a case of champagne shipped to her house.
Yeah. When we're discussing that enough wine has been delivered to one place for her.
Right.
For the government to get involved.
She has reached her annual allotment.
And it's only February, bitches.
Holy fuck.
It's February and the government has said, okay, Jenna. You need
that's enough
back.
Wine. That's enough wine.
You can't do that for another year.
Oh shit! Oh my god!
Wow! All right.
I am drinking. I went to Burning Brothers and picked up a new thing that they have there. It is a tart cherry sour.
Oh,
and it is. Really, really fucking good. It is beautiful. It has a lovely color. Too sour. Gorgeous. Like a lot
that's
of
like
sours can
color
be very
Jess's
like
prom dress.
Yeah, it's got a very, very like burgundy gorgeous color to it. It's very nice No, it's very good. It's got a good cherry flavor. It's not too sour. You know, it's just got a little bit of tart pucker to it, but not like lemon grapefruit pucker.
Sure.
So, no, it's very drinkable, very tasty.
That sounds really tasty, yeah.
Nice.
And being Burning Brothers, completely gluten-free.
All right.
That's brilliant.
What do you got, James?
No, it's...
Go ahead, Salsa.
I said nothing.
No.
Oh, okay.
He's just making noises.
I bought another six of Shokoveza Tres Leche from Stone, because this is fucking delicious beer. This is the the Imperial Stout inspired by Mexican hot chocolate and tres leche. It's fucking delicious. And then on top of that, I've poured in some Screwball peanut butter whiskey. So
okay,
here we go.
Did you get peanut butter in your chocolate or chocolate in your peanut butter?
One and then the other.
Oh, all ooh. Right then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
An intricate flavor.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Are you going to describe it or just make noises
holy
for a bit?
Fuck.
I think orgasm just there is description enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
okay.
It is extraordinary. It's fucking delicious. If you have the chance to do that, I strongly recommend it unless you fucking hate beer.
I don't know anybody that hates beer.
No.
Seems weird.
Yeah. Because hops is just so fucking delicious. Nope, can't do it. yeah. Hey, Jessa, what are you drinking?
That is a good question.
I said to my 21-year-old daughter, that's so weird still. Okay, go ahead.
We have I have a liquor store like just down the road from me, and seeing
like a half a block away.
Still developing my taste buds for alcohol at this point. We got just a bunch of travel alcohols, the little travel bottles of booze.
Yeah. That's pretty smart.
And so I have like 11 different tiny bottles of booze here.
Mm-hmm.
There were five that I've already tried because they're not as interesting as the rest of these. Okay. I've separated them into the fun ones and the known brands. The known brands include, like, there's Jameson, there's Captain Morgan, I've got Johnny Walker. For the fun ones, I have Fireball. I have 99 proof root beer liqueur.
Oh, yeah.
A banana flavored rum. And Gedney pickle vodka.
Oh, I don't even like to hear it.
Really? Because I think pickle vodka would make them
Bloody
fabulous
Mary.
Martini.
Yeah.
Bloody Mary
say,
martini, yeah.
Both of those, yeah. My mind went immediately to Bloody Mary martini from fucking Stellar.
This
I'm
was
thinking
actually
about what, her like trying to do shots of that. Though.
Well, guess what?
Yes. Well, sure, I straight have... maybe a little weird, but
yeah, the lady at the liquor store, this is what caught her attention was the pickle vodka, and she was like, I tried that. And it just tastes like pickle juice. And I'm like, well, that's I'm okay with that. So
shit.
That's gonna be really hilarious if I try 11 different travel boozes tonight, and the one that I like is the fucking pickle vodka.
It's going to become increasingly hilarious either way.
Oh,
to be fair, the lady behind the counter was probably like 80 something. Like she was old, and I'm not sure how many taste buds she has left at this point. So,
oh no,
I'm going to
was a delight.
I'm going to pop the fireball.
We're going to pop the fireball first.
We're going straight to fireball. Brave,
right into fireball. Yes,
You're not going to. You're not going to check and see what's in the room, or?
I cast magic missile.
I would like my fireball. Oh god, is it 46 fire damage in an AoE?
Oh my god.
All right.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Wow, I actually.
It's good.
I thought you might be a fireball person.
With fireball? Yeah. I'm like, I'm either going to love this because the cinnamon overpowers the whiskey, or I'm going to hate it because the whiskey overpowers the fire, overpowers the cinnamon.
Yeah, no, it's...
Yeah, yeah.
That's perfect.
Yep.
Yeah.
I really like that. I'm saving that for later.
That's a very good idea.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Starting off strong. Can only go downhill from here.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I also have a giant glass of root beer for palate cleansing.
Oh, I was about to say, you're going to, because everything's going to taste like cinnamon from this point on, you're going to be like, I like all of these. They all taste like cinnamon. It's like, no, that's, nope, that's, no, 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 sorry. That,
no.
Anyway.
So
what you up to?
Should we check in with you later on that, Jessa?
Yeah, I'll be further developments
in boozes. What have I been doing? I went to the booze store with my daughter.
That was fun.
That was fun.
I've heard of it.
We got to go around and she basically explained the different boozes to me. I'm like, what the heck is What is the difference between all the whiskey types? And she's like, well, I kind of know that, but not really. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing that I didn't really get a lesson on was ale.
Yeah, I was like, fair. I am not the right person to tell you about beer.
Salsa would be.
There are two things. I was like, salsa is the right person to tell you about beer. I'm like, there's two things I can tell you about beer. Is that if you're going to a party. If you bring Nordeast, pretty much anybody will be happy with it. And if you're going to a cheaper party, PBR will always be a good bet.
Yeah.
So that's what I know. I also did say it, like, because I know there's more hops in IPAs, and that's how they became IPAs, basically, because of the whole Britain, India stuff. It's an Indian pale ale. And there's the least amount of hops and things like stouts, which is why I will occasionally drink a stout if I'm already drunk. That's what I know about beer. Yep. Also, it has hops in it, and hops is gross. The end.
You said Pabst, and I saw Salsa shake his head.
Yeah, you don't bring a Pabst to Salsa's house.
No.
You bring PBRs to Joe's house.
Yeah.
Look, if you hand me a PBR, I will drink it. Will I choose it? No. But hand it to me, I'll drink it.
So.
No, Jenna's right on that. Hand me a Nordeast or a PBR, I'll drink it.
Yeah. I know how to host beer.
Yeah.
That's it. but no, we wandered the aisles and I would tell Jessa what I did or didn't know about whichever process. I was like, gin is disgusting. And here's why.
Did we get any gin? I don't think we got any tiny gins.
Oh. I wish gins? I could say I had done that on purpose. But I didn't. Like, we actively should have gotten you like some, I don't know. What is that, like Sapphire Blue or whatever? The Bombay?
Oh, Sapphire. Yeah, Bombay Sapphire.
Yeah, we probably should have gotten Jessa some of that.
Yeah, I feel like...
Because I know that comes in tiny bottles.
But. Gin is also not a one-size-fits-all. You know, you've got various botanicals that go into gins. You've got London Dry, which is, you know, a very heavy on the juniper. And then you've got things like Mediterranean botanicals that are a bit more floral in there. And then you've got like something that's spreading out a lot popular in here in Minnesota is gins that are various evergreens other than juniper. So you've got spruce and cedar type gins springing up.
I had pointed out the V-Cray bottles and I was like, you see this cedar gin?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the only gin I've had that I'm like, oh, that's all right. But like, yeah, I pointed out some of that.
But yeah, if you get a bottle of like Beefeater and Bombay Sapphire and Hendrix.
Beefeater?
They are not the same. Not at all.
No, those are different animals entirely.
Yeah, Beefeater is the quintessential London Dry, you know, gin.
Is that the one that tastes like it is actively Pine Sol?
It is like being hit in the face with a can of Pine Sol, yes.
Yeah, London Dry is very Pine Sol-y. You know, again, some of the more botanical ones have a lot more flavors in them and can be really varied. I'm distracted
by the name.
I mean, don't try one gin and say you hate all gins or like all gins. Definitely. Yeah. I'm with any other, much like any other alcohol, one size does not fit all. So
Yeah,
I've tried, several same. Whiskeys.
Yeah.
I've not been enjoying any of them thus far.
Whiskey is the area that I know probably the most about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we did talk about kind of the umbrella of whiskey and, like, different things that'll go into different mashes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And what bourbon has to have at least 51% corn or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we talked about scotches.
Aged in white oak.
And I was... Yeah, and the different barrels things like that.
Stuff.
Highlands versus lowlands, effervescent versus like peaty or earthy or smoky, and all of those different types of things. And then I was like, and then go talk to Cedius Scotchbringer about scotch. Because, and these are the three that I like because I like them smoky and peaty. Yep. So I was able to give an overview on that. I talked a little bit about the distilling process for vodka because I've been to three distilleries now at least and like watched the actual thing. But we should do a distillery tour. Just
we really should.
Oh my god, like all of us should go do a distillery tour. All right. Du Nord used to do them. I don't know if they still do, but
well, I've done Du Nord and I've done Vicray.
I did those two, and then I did 49th over in Wisconsin.
Oh,
okay.
That was actually my first distillery tour.
I don't think I've had any of their stuff either.
It was fine. I wouldn't make the drive without other things to do as well. But like, it was fine.
Yeah.
I know Tattersall is really good. And I've enjoyed their stuff.
Yeah.
What's the one I'm thinking?
Oh, that was a face. What did you pick, Jessa?
I was just like, while we're talking about distilling, Jameson Triple Distilled.
Whew.
And I cracked it open and I just like sniffed, took a whiff, and I'm just like, ooh, that's a strong one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I'm not gonna like that. Oh.
That'll put hair on your roommate's chest. Jesus.
Oh.
Yeah, that's definitely something you mix into other stuff. Like, you can sip it, but... Mm-hmm. And I have, like, because I have no pride.
That's got a... So you know those little... the little packages with the little hand towelettes in them?
Yes.
It tastes like how those smell.
Yeah.
It
wow!
When I say that I hate the taste of alcohol, I can pinpoint the alcohol in a drink.
Mm-hmm.
I can taste specifically. Yep, that is.
So she goes for another swig. That's my girl.
You gotta be sure.
Like that is straight up.
Yeah. Try mixing that with some like Coke or something later.
Ooh.
Yep.
Some root beer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We should have gotten you a 12-pack of, like, Dr. Pepper.
Who makes a Dr. Pepper with stuff?
Ugh. Well, James is being a jerk, Jessa.
A little bit.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I've never known him to do that.
You were putting me down at the time.
There are now over 20 distilleries in Minnesota.
Wow.
Ooh.
Nice.
No, sorry. There are 38. 38 distilleries in Minnesota.
Fuck.
Is Tattersall the one that has elderflower liqueur?
Maybe. I know that's the one located in the same building as Strike.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's the one I'm thinking of. And it's got a creme de fleur, which is amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
strongly recommend their stuff.
I will also say watching Jessa go around the booze store and watching her like just looking at the bottles.
I adore the packaging of alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
It is I want the packaging of just everything in life to be as just stylized as booze bottles are.
Oh my God, yes.
It is really, it's really fascinating to look at the different, like between the same types of alcohol that are done pretty much the same way, how two bottles can be distinct. There was like, there were bottles that had fishnets on them because they were rums. There was, oh, what was it that was in the cat bottles?
It was a wine. It was a wine brand, I think. Yeah. Like there were different types of wine.
Some wine that was in these bottles that were shaped like cats.
Yeah.
There's right. And then there's some like the really stylized stuff like Maker's Mark and their wax.
Oh yeah.
I was actually at that point I was turned around. I was like looking for like trying to decide which size of two gingers to pick up. And Jessica was like, "Oh, look at this one! It's got wax." And I was like, "Oh, Maker's Mark." And I hadn't even turned around. And then I turn around, and there it was.
Yep.
There was the Maker's Mark.
One of my favorite bottles by appearance is Cointreau.
I don't recall.
Just like a little holy hand grenade.
It's an orb. Yeah.
Like this beautiful like belt around it.
Chambord.
I'm
thinking of
Chambord.
Beautiful. I might be thinking of Chambord.
Yeah, Chambord is also the holy hand grenade.
Yeah.
There were a couple of round ones, and I was like, I love this shape, but God, that sounds like a nightmare to pour.
Yeah, no, Cointreau comes in a rectangular bottle.
I am thinking of Chambord.
There's this.
What's the one that looks like a monk?
Buddha?
There was a Buddha
Chinese beer.
No, that's like an almond liqueur, isn't it? Or amaretto.
Yeah. It's like Frangelico.
Frangelico.
Yeah. I just couldn't put the name together. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's because okay, Joe and I go different ways on amaretto. I like my amaretto sweeter, so I am definitely a Di Serrano chick. Joe wants it nuttier, and I think it's Frangelico that he prefers.
Oh no, Frangelico is hazelnut, not almond.
Oh.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, never mind.
I had the wrong nut. Sorry. But yeah, they're both. Di Serrano, also very good.
Yeah, I'm not gonna not drink Frangelico, but let's see. What other experiences did you have at the booze store?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes the names of things, like for example, I just opened Kinky.
Oh no!
I grabbed two Kinkies. I grabbed Kinky Red and I grabbed Kinky Blue. And I tried Red and I hated it. And so I'm not looking forward to this one.
Nope. I'm sorry.
Oh God, you look angry.
I'm sorry like you had to go through
raspberry
that.
Raspberry out behind the shed and shot it.
No, I think Kinky. I think if I recall correctly, Kinky was another one that Dr. Pepper could not save.
Yeah, I think really? It was one of like three.
Ooh.
Yep.
No, Kinky's bad.
I think we had. Well, we had. Okay, so we had. Was it Kinky Blue or Kinky Pink?
We had Kinky Blue.
I think Kinky Blue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And take another sip of Red just to make sure because I didn't finish it.
No, they're not good. Neither of them are good.
Oh, God, this one's worse, yeah. Nope.
Yeah.
It's way worse.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, I'm so glad you thought to.
I will say this.
That's smart.
If you made
I will say this. It's not as bad as Malort.
That's true. That is 1,000% true.
I was.
Oh, my God.
Literally just talking with my roommate about Malort. Because I was getting together my big bottle of or my big bottle, my big glass of root beer for palate cleansing. Sure. Speaking of,
yeah,
that is a fair response.
But they were like, yeah, when I went to Chicago, I had the displeasure of being made to try a Chicago handshake, which is the whatever is the best local craft beer you have. Malort.
Yo,
that just sucks.
My roommate described it as the beer was wonderful.
Oh yeah.
The Malort made me question my life choices.
Yes.
Each and every single one up until the point where I drank Malort.
Yep.
Yep.
That's Malort.
100% accurate.
Beg off of Malort as long as you can.
Yeah.
that is my maternal advice to you.
Yeah, no seriously. Oh. If you didn't like Kinky, don't touch Malort.
Nope.
If you can't handle it, me at my Kinky, you don't deserve me at my Malort.
Oh, nobody deserves you at your Malort.
No.
No. As far as the two flavors I've tried, I could maybe finish a bottle of Kinky Blue if you wanted me to. I could not. I will
the
not.
Red's
drink
not it.
Any more of the red.
No.
That's been my
nobody's making
also.
You.
No.
Quietly dispose of them down sink and nobody judges you.
Ask your roommate if they want them first.
No.
One of the things that it took me a very long time to learn is that as it is a waste, you can pour booze into the toilet. You can just
always
just
have
get
the option
of
not.
Except if it's Malort. Because if you put Malort into the toilet will throw up.
Yeah. You have to handle that like a biohazard, really.
Correct. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, it needs the bag with the sticky thing and then the sticker.
Get the tongs out, like radioactive waste.
Mm-hmm. You have to file a government form.
You have to call somebody to come pick it up from you.
Yeah.
We should do a distillery hopping.
We should.
That sounds like fun.
Absolutely.
About it. Yeah.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, we could do that.
All right.
I'm about it.
We'll take a break. Jessa will keep trying boozes, and we'll get the full report when we come back.
Oh yeah.
And then we'll talk about something else.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
That was amazing, and I highly recommend that. Bacon and a Bloody Mary? Like, it was just a slice of bacon cooked super hard and just in the cup.
Just like bacon and stick in it and dangle it into the drink.
Bacon in a Bloody Mary is my noir novel.
Ooh, that's a good call.
I'm not a Minnesota farmer who was found dead in a ditch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
They didn't find him till springtime.
I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
Fuck.
And who are you? Who are you?
Do we have anybody else here? Anyone at all?
Salsa, James, Jenna, and
hello.
I didn't hear James.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. James is often laughing while he says his name, so you got to keep your ear open.
There you go. I have vodkas to try. I mean, I'm Jessa.
That can be an identity. Yeah, that's okay.
I have vodkas to try.
Please don't let that be your identity.
That was my major in college.
I don't ask a lot as a mother, as far as your identity, but like I would prefer if
don't let my
I
legacy be that I have vodkas wow. to try.
Mm. Yes, mm-hmm. thank you.
There's only one way to make sure that isn't your legacy.
I have not had try the vodkas vodka before. Oh,
yep.
Oh no!
That's a, there's a TV show in there, just the lone wanderer wandering the wastelands, and people are like, "Who was that masked man anyway?" And it's like, "Vodkas to try."
All right, sad Hulk music is playing as somebody's like leaning over a toilet.
Except it's in Russia, so it's balalaika music.
Now I want to hear the sad Hulk music on balalaika. Oh fuck!
I always figure vodka would have a stronger smell.
Oh, is it the no? Because yeah,
if it's a good vodka, it will have no smell.
No, do you remember when I literally
taste?
Do you remember when I literally took a vodka out of your hand and said, "No, you're drinking this one"?
Yes, yeah. I do remember.
This
that.
Is the vodka.
Yes. Oh.
Well, all right. Which one have you got?
Blue ice.
Blue ice.
Okay.
Yeah, that doesn't taste like anything either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. And that's the point.
Yeah.
That's
otherwise vodka. A good vodka won't have a flavor or
it
a
was
smell.
It was the best of the airplane bottles. I tell you what. Yeah.
That's kind of rubbing alcohol.
Yeah. If you get the wrong one, you'll know it because it tastes like chugging diesel fuel.
Yep. It'll have, a bad vodka will have a Fusel Oil flavor to it.
Yep.
A good vodka, you shouldn't taste it. You should feel it.
You should feel it.
Yep.
Yeah. It'll have an oiliness that slithers on your tongue. That's really just feels great. But yeah.
And now.
Oh God. The time.
Very dill. Oh, that smells so dill.
What
if
was
you handed
again?
Me a pickle Sorry. Jar and I sniffed it and it smelt like this, I'd say you'd have used too much dill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's going to be like dill pickle chips.
Cool.
Oh, God, no.
Well, there we go.
That was a response.
Okay.
And then the questioning look in the second attempt.
Oh, no. Nope.
No, no, no. Okay.
Oh.
Oh. No.
So like, right. imagine this scenario. I'm somebody who is known to enjoy a pickle or two, and you hand me this jar of pickles, and I open the lid and I take one of the pickles out, and I take a bite of it and I go and then like I take a little sip of the brine, and I look you dead in the eyes and I go, I think you've poisoned me. That's what this tastes like. It's not overwhelming.
Uh-huh.
But it feels like something that I know deeply has been soiled in a way that is personal.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty apt. Yeah. That's been my experience with them.
What this feels like to me.
Okay. So now that you have had the pickle vodka, one of these days you need to take a trip to Moscow on the Hill.
Oh, fuck yes.
Mm-hmm.
Moscow on the Hill has vodkas quite literally from around the world. And some of the things they have is flavored vodkas, and they do have a pickled vodka. Mm-hmm. They also have a garlic vodka. That is divine.
I'm spiking my
makes an amazing martini or bloody. Horseradish vodka, delicious. A pepper vodka, really, really good. A dill vodka, cilantro vodka. Like, I recommend at some point going there and trying one of their flights. Because you'll be able to see good vodka in these different flavors. And really kind of get a taste for is available out there as far as vodka goes. But yeah.
All right.
Now that you've done those, can we get the report on what you had during the break and where they all land?
I had,
have you ranked them from least to best?
I have not. I was going to like organize them on my little space here, and I have.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were doing that as you went.
I was planning on it, and then I was like, "No, I'll do it after all of them." And now I don't remember what any of them taste.
Oh, well, we'll have to try them again.
We'll have another break. So you know.
Oh no. During the break, I tried Johnny Walker, which was a mistake.
All right.
I tried Crown Royale and was surprised that it didn't taste like anything. I went through all of the whiskeys that I'd had previous and remembered why I didn't like them. And I had Dr. McGillicuddy's and was surprised at how good it tasted.
Which, specifically, which McGillicuddy's?
Cherry McGillicuddy's.
Okay. I would have pushed Jessa to grab a mint.
Oh, sure.
But they didn't. That I would like it. That.
Oh.
No, but
nobody
it is,
likes mint McGillicuddy.
No, but it is quintessential McGillicuddy's.
And yeah, that's the thing.
If you just say McGillicuddy's, a lot of people will automatically jump to the mint. That is the thing that McGillicuddy's
is. That
is
the
for.
Default McGillicuddy's.
Yeah.
Kind of the default for schnapps is when people think of schnapps, they think of peppermint schnapps.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
So yeah. I did other things as opposed to expose my daughter to booze.
Oh.
Oh yeah, and I tried. Okay. I tried Captain Morgan.
Oh yeah.
I think I tried that one after. And it's not my thing, but I can see why people like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
I don't know if anybody picked it up, but I have now spiked my root beer with the root beer liqueur.
Oh.
Root beer on root beer. Nice.
And it tastes the same, so.
All right.
Fingers All right. crossed, I'm feeling something.
Is that how people make root beer barrels? I don't remember.
I have no idea. So I did a show over the weekend.
Ooh.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Great I tell. Did. So we were going to do the show back in January for Moliere's 400th birthday. But then January happened. So we did it on Saturday instead.
All right.
And it was an all-star cast. There was me, Pabble, Matthew Kesson, Don Krasnowski, Jen Scott, and Allison Anderson. Fucking stellar goddamn cast. Yeah. And also I was there. And and we're doing this reading.
I want you to stop disrespecting yourself.
I can also be good, but also I was there. So but no, so we did a reading of Don Juan, one of Molière's more popular. It's a French retelling of a Spanish play that was translated into English.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually a pretty good translation for us. You might be surprised to find out that Pabble enjoys various forms of like playing with sin and morality and existential issues.
Very weird.
I mean, I like playing with sin too, but for completely different reasons.
Artistically. So yeah, we did Don Juan. There were six performers, and we had an audience of three.
Well,
But they were a very appreciative three people. They enjoyed the hell out of our performance.
Mm-hmm.
Philip had actually thought that, you know, we probably wouldn't get a lot of people out the first go around.
Sure.
So he made sure this was like the least impact rehearsal process and performance as possible. Mm-hmm. It was a table read. We only had one rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And most of his direction was have fun. Go ahead and be ridiculous. And I tell you what, I did several different characters. I was kind of the person that did everything, including like stage directions.
Mm-hmm.
So I could never put the book down.
Oh, no.
But I got to play Charlotte, who is one of the girls that Don Juan seduces, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she is engaged to Piero, who and the two of them are just peasant hicks, right?
Sure.
Jen Scott did Pierrot. And she was big and bold. And
this is a complete departure from normal.
I know, right? She was the most yokely yokel to ever yokel. Like, just, it was beautiful. It was glorious. And I was like, oh my God, I have to go up to your level? God damn it. So I went pure ditzy Southern girl. Nice. And yeah, I think we figured it out. We got a good balance in there. But
good, good.
And she was still just outstanding. Mm-hmm. Everybody did a phenomenal job. Matt Kesson was Don Juan.
Oh, wow.
Philip did that very specifically because Kesson is a very sincere performer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Philip's whole thing is like, the only reason why people like Don Juan get away with the shit that they do is because they come across as sincere.
Mm.
So I need somebody to play this sincerely and not out of villainy. Mm-hmm. And I would have to say that Kesson nailed it. Like, that was good casting, yeah. And it was just well done all around. Like, Kesson and I were flirting, and I was like, oh my. Okay, So, yeah, it was super fun. It was a really good time. I got to bicker with Allison Anderson, which was great. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun. It was a yes.
Considering what Kesson is into, he would enjoy that.
Probably.
No, his...
He would be going full David Attenborough in hell.
Right. You can't send the man to hell as a punishment.
Like, I picture him as like the Steve Irving of demons. Huh. If you look over here...
Wrestling alligators, but instead of alligators, it's like...
It's like...
Pickings.
Yeah,
look at
exactly.
The wingspan on this bugger.
Right, exactly.
Your average imp only comes to usually about your height, but this little bugger packs a punch.
Yes. All right, I'm pleased.
Now
I might
now
have to
float
that one by him.
I see this so much.
Fringe
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did that performance. There were other things I did too, like booze shopping with my daughter. But like, yeah, right. That performance was,
well, it's the first time I've heard of this.
God damn it!
Oh my
man.
God. Do you know what's weird about booze shopping with your daughter? That was a question.
I don't know. Your daughter.
The answer is
cool, so.
No. I don't.
See, thank you.
I've That's never had a problem asking. With it.
Wait a minute. Now I have concerns.
Just now? More,
as long as
just now.
That's Dad used to bring me liquor stores all the time. That's why they had a basket full of lollipops for the kiddos. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Your dad also lives in Ogilvie, Minnesota, honey. I just...
Something to be said. Yeah.
There is a difference between rural and urban as far as, like, the way people look at you when you bring a kid into a booze store.
There is a lot of that, yeah.
There's a lot of that.
I mean, I wouldn't...
And I'm not even here to say one of them's
store,
better than the other.
I'm not sure what kind of wine she likes.
See, I feel like that's how my mom would have handled it before I.
I just imagine that your daughter would be up front at the counter just entertaining the absolute shit out of those employees.
I don't know about entertaining, but definitely chatting them up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Asher.
Sure. Telling them a story. Yeah.
My son would definitely be you know, making pratfalls and faces at him. My daughter would end up telling him anecdotes for the next 3 hours.
Oh. Yeah. Yep.
Actually, I think Jessa would just be asking the staff at like age 5 if they thought I had a problem. You'd be like, so
this is what I've been
question.
Telling your mother is that
yeah, like the third time we've been in here this week. Do you think maybe I should like say something to another adult?
So it's February, and my mom has already purchased her annual allotment of wine. Is that a problem?
I just step in. They're not going to allow any more wine to her apartment.
For the Eric Knights in the audience, that's what we call a callback. It's when you...
shit.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, Justin. All right.
What have you been up to, James?
This last weekend was trivia.
I didn't do any.
That too.
Ah, funny. I get it.
It's such a weird mixture, always, every year. I feel both incredibly useful and also like I'm taking up space, even when I'm there remotely. Because 95% of the questions go by and I'll Google the absolute shit out of them and I'll get nothing. And then that remaining 5%, I just know. They'll be like, so-and-so is in, is talking to so-and-so and this person makes an offhand remark about blah. Tell us the color of the curtains in the room that the other person just walked from, right? And you have to know the characters, you have to know the conversation, you have to know the movie, and then either be able to find it or remember the room that they came from. And that's apparently my shit. but when they're like, this baseball player, this, you know, I don't know. Yeah, there are things that I wish that I
knew. Was torn in a this right. play. what was the name of the first baseman?
Yeah, which earthquake caused? Yeah, right. Just like fuck. I am super impressed with their ability to make questions ungoogleable.
Yeah,
but I have to say, this year more than ever,
these
questions were fucking ridiculous. Every hour had multiple like 60 point questions, which means they're incredibly difficult.
Wow.
They were hitting hard. They were hitting below.
Okay,
the
but they weren't doing full 50 this year, right? Like they had limited hours.
Yeah, so that was one of the were other they cool just things.
Being more of a dick because of it? Is that
possibly? They wanted to pack the same number of points into a smaller amount of time.
Mm.
And they sure as fuck did. They would start each hour with like a 60 point question, and then they would give you another 50 or 60 point question about halfway through. It was nuts. So for those who have not done KVSC trivia before, most questions are, you know, 15 to 20 points usually. Mm-hmm. And then really ridiculously fucking hard ones are going to be 60 points, where it's the inside cover of this book during the first printing had a sticker. Please tell us the complete text that was written on that sticker and also the quote under the author's photo, you know, something like that.
Yep.
Just fucking, and you can find a million pictures of that book. You can find electronic copies of that book, but if you aren't in a library, hip deep in editions of that book from that year, you're out of fucking luck unless you manage to scrape it together or you know someone. And that's
or you know someone.
Yeah. But
sometimes you can call a library.
Yeah.
But the problem is that, you know, librarians sometimes take their time. And even if you call, they might not have a time, even if they are being super speedy about it. So
Yeah. It was great. We did pretty well. My team came 22nd. Which, nice. Based on the size of the team, especially, like, our team is usually, like, 12 to 15 people at most. This year, we had a solid, like, 7 to 9 people on at any given time. So we were smaller than usual, and we still did really well. But yeah, they instead of doing overnight questions, because it used to be every one of the 50 hours had 9 or more questions, they instead give you homework overnight. And one of this year's homework assignments was incredible.
Oh my God.
It was your team needs to assemble at least 21 banned books and take a photo with all of them.
What?
And as many of your team members as you can.
Wow. Oh my God.
And so one of our team members ended up driving around to collect books from people who were still awake, and then driving very far north at like 2 a.m. with a shitload of books, only to find out when he got there that we actually had 20 different books, not 21.
Oh, fuck.
Oh.
But we're pretty sure that they prorated the points for us.
Okay.
They did give points for effort.
They're jerks, not monsters.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But no, this it's so fucking fascinating, but it's such a weird mixture of just abject defeat and misery, repeatedly getting punched in the face with impossible things, and then the occasional incredible success. I think this is why I don't have a gambling addiction.
it reminds me of it has become a sort of a internet, I don't want to say trend, but like it is something that has popped up a lot more recently in this day and age of everyone being so connected. Certain journalists or influencers or YouTubers or whatever the heck, to have this one undocumented, unsolved mystery.
Oh, yeah.
And to be able, due to how connected we are these days, to connect to the right people to solve said mystery. There is there's a couple of examples of this I can find off the top of my head, but I think the one that relates most to what you were saying is there was a website in the early days of the internet that had that was just a collection of trivia.
Okay.
Where you basically there were this many trivia questions in the same kind of style that your that as you've described it to me, your trivia show does, where it's like, this is a photo of so and so, find this other miscellaneous information that is somehow related. Right. And one of them was this picture of a man with some mountains in the background. And the question was, what is the name of this man?
Jesus.
And for literal years, like it got to a point where the people that essentially made it were like, okay, everybody has basically completed this. Like we've essentially got all of the answers, but this one was never solved.
Oh,
until someone took it upon themselves that had that burning, like,
yeah,
we need to, you can't just leave it unsolved like that. Right. Like, contacted the people who made it to get hints, because obviously they're so committed to it, which I love dearly. They're so committed to it's not going to be satisfying if I tell you.
Right.
But I will give you like some hints. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they managed to track down where the original photo was taken.
Oh, there geez.
Goes whatever. Keep going.
Yep.
But they weren't able to track down the guy until they had this breakthrough.
Uh-huh.
And they found him. And I need to find it now. Because I need to send it to all of you. Because
did the guy know that this was a thing?
Yes.
He did. Okay.
When he submitted in and everything, like
they're like, "What's your name?" And then he just takes off running.
You'll never catch me alive.
And then you find out he's actually a KGB spy, and they've been fucking looking for him.
Oh my god! Well, there was bursts in like, "You found
him! We finally fucking got you!"
There was a thing that happened like that on the internet, that somebody posted an awful video of hurting pets with a T, not with a D, but hurting cats and like being really awful, and internet sleuths were like, we looked at the pattern of the wallpaper and we have tracked down, based on that pattern, we have tracked down a series of photos that we think to be the same person. They have this EXIF data in them and are belong to these accounts. And so we're narrowing it down to these particular states, and then like looking through the photos and going, okay, here there's snow and here there isn't. And this person had bad weather on this day, and like comparing people's public Facebook information to, to these photos, and they found the kid.
Wow.
And
oh my god,
called the cops. Yeah. People are fucking nuts. There was a site called NotPrawn, NotPron, which was entirely about solving extremely complex riddles that are built into the website. You know, you change the URL, you look in the code for a specific piece of text that tells you some information you didn't have before, which lets you search a different thing and find so incredibly complex riddles that can only be done as a website.
Yeah. There are a lot of really interesting ARGs.
Yeah.
I don't know if you all are familiar with the concept, but they're called alternate reality games.
Yep.
Yeah.
Joe is massive into these things.
He loves that kind of a puzzle mystery.
Modern technology has definitely brought it into a different realm, but I mean, code breaking. It's code breaking in a new era is really what it is, and code breaking itself goes back forever and a day. It's like there have always been people who were able to look at the ridiculous information that is out there and go, I see the pattern. Yeah. And that is something that truly staggers me, because I am somebody that cannot look at details like that. I do not detail. I am very big picture, and I respect people that can look at a tiny detail and extrapolate out from that tiny detail an entire universe.
Biggest win for trivia was solving an extraordinarily complex problem. The game of Morris was Monopoly that was specially printed for the town of Morris. And every square was a business. Every square you could buy was a business in Morris at that time.
Okay.
And they said, what is square B3? Please give us the complete name of the business that is on square B3. And every photo you looked at had the same shots of the game of Morris and not the correct square.
Wow.
And we were like shoulder deep searching into that stuff. So I grabbed the image. I searched for like images, pulled up every result for roughly matching Game of Morris images, opened those websites out, and then found which ones had unprotected directory trees. If you remove the image tag, they just had open image folders so that you could go into the folder and start going through all of the images. And I found an image which was not posted anywhere of the Game of Morris. It had just been saved into the folder. And my teammates were astounded by this.
And said, As well, they should be.
How did you figure that out? And I said, well, I looked at a lot of porn as a kid. And a lot of sites had their free stuff in the same folder as
the paid the stuff.
Rest of the stuff, and they just didn't know better at the time. Yeah.
I actually spent my time as a teenager building websites and like finding things and like knowing how to do that stuff. Nope, porn. Okay.
Yep.
Porn makes the world go round.
Okay. So should we on that note take a break or
Think of a better one.
All right. We're going to leave you, dear listener, with that haunting image as we take this break. As I go and get something stronger to drink. We'll be right back in a bit.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
You know. Well, you know the secret of comedy.
No.
I'm not surprised.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
Oh, shit. I'm dead.
I'm Jenna.
And I heard James that time. I mean, I'm well, Jessica.
Oh my god!
I've arranged all my my liquors.
Yes, okay. Go on.
All right. So I have 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Holy I have 16.
Fuck.
Goodness.
And I have arranged them all. So Fireball, I like the most.
Okay.
Legitimate.
And it might not be technically my favorite to taste, but I love that it provides something that only an alcoholic drink could.
Mm. Sure.
It feels
I get that.
Okay.
New to me, like distinct. And I think that's important.
Yeah.
Then it's Dr. McGillicuddy's Cherry.
Okay.
Because that's just cherry. I like that. Then it's the 99% the 99 proof root beer. Then it is the Parrot Bay Banana, which I tried off recording, but I don't think I mentioned at all. It tastes like
is
banana.
That a rum?
Yes, it is Parrot Bay rum.
Okay.
With I was going to say artificial banana flavoring, but technically it's actual banana flavoring, natural banana flavoring.
Actual banana.
Actual banana.
That's important to me.
Right. Then it's Jameson, which is one of the most, if one of the drinks where I've drank it and then I went, yeah, that's booze.
Yeah.
But again, I like that. I like that it's a unique thing to me. It's like, this is new. This feels like a thing I haven't had yet. But I can ingest it.
This.
Then it's Crown Royale and the vodka, Blue Ice, which don't taste like anything. It only goes downhill from here. Captain Morgan, which again, not my thing, but I can see why people like it.
Sure.
I can see where people are coming from. Then it is the Boulet Bourbon, which punches me in the face every time I drink it. Then it's Kinky Blue.
Blech.
Really? Okay.
I like it better than the other whiskeys.
Oh,
interesting.
Wow.
Ooh, that is an indictment of alcohol in general.
I like, yeah, I like E&J Vanilla more than I like the Dewar's White Label.
Okay.
Then it's Blue Chain Bay or Blue Chair Bay, or I don't know, it's a cursive R or N. It could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Chain Bad Bay Fontaine. Rum, which just, I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
All right.
Then it's Johnny Walker. All right. Blue Chain Bay at least tries. Johnny Walker doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Kinky Red.
Okay.
It's Blue Chair.
And then it's Blue Chair. Okay. Really, I would have thought.
Yep, it is an
Blue
R.
Chain.
No, it is an all R. Right. Blue Chair.
So Blue Chair. But then after Johnny Walker, it's Kinky Red, which I hate. And yeah. Then it's Pickle Vodka, which goes to the bottom of my list simply because I wanted it to be better.
Yeah. Oh, that's entirely
absolutely
fair.
As far as on the rankings, probably tastes better than a lot of the other things. I wish it was better.
You're just the most disappointed by it.
Yeah.
You're not mad. You're just disappointed.
Like I said, it feels like a personal affront.
Sure. It was an expectations thing. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. Dear listeners, go to the internet and tell everybody why we're wrong about everything.
Yeah.
Because you're probably going to anyway.
Yeah.
So just do it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
if we give you permission, it doesn't feel like an affront. I actually want to know.
I'm going to take another swig of Fireball.
All right.
I want to know. I actively want to know when people were first discovering booze.
Oh, sure.
What was the first thing that they caught and went, oh, this is what booze is all about, and now I can enjoy it?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to know that from our listeners.
Oh, interesting. All right.
I will say I'm kind of sad that all of the boozes that I tried first all ended up in the bottom half of this list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the ones I tried on my own.
It's a shame. All right.
I mean, I suppose it means that we didn't have to listen to, you know, too much.
More whiskey that I don't like. More boring whiskey that nobody cares about. This one punched me in the face. I keep describing it like that because that's just what it feels like to drink that one.
All right. In the meantime, we're going to a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
I feel so out of the loop when you guys say it together like that.
I keep trying not to, and James keeps trying to. Or James also keeps trying not to, but then we end up trying not to together, and then we sync up, and it's awkward.
Well, I mean, whenever we spend enough time together, it's going to sync up. It's how that works.
Yeah, no, I understand this.
All right.
Been doing this.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from...
The worst.
Dennis Zastara.
Yay!
Zastara, 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 Zastara.
I feel like it's always Zastara when I'm on. Am I crazy?
Maybe you're just lucky.
Well, because the thing is, I don't listen to your guys' podcast. This is the only place that I would get that, right?
You don't listen to
our rogues gallery of people that write Fast Fives is limited. So, I mean...
But the number of people who don't listen to this podcast is in the billions.
Exactly. So, I mean chances are...
A very prestigious group.
I love that you have a rogues gallery, though.
Yes.
And that's accurate.
Well, they are our apropos-y.
Mm.
Yes.
Aww.
Anyway, Dennis starts this by saying, okay, I don't have the energy to make it difficult right now, so please excuse me some small sample of mischief. Not
mischief.
Mischief, with a capital M. Just mischief.
Mm.
All
question.
Right.
Question number one.
Christmas.
Ears.
That sounds so lovely.
Or eyes.
Oh, shit.
I feel like this question is like, so it feels like, what would you rather lose?
Well, I mean, the thing is this question can be taken so many different ways, and we've done it so many different ways. So,
do you prefer visual arts?
Oh.
Or aural arts? Such as music. Aural.
The thing is for like, for an overall experience of the world, I'd rather be able to hear things. But like, for a like, the things that I indulge in, I need to be able to see.
Right.
I need to, or else my entire, like, everything I do is thrown out of whack.
I did watch somebody do, like, a segment of somebody doing a playthrough of Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time completely blind from birth.
Oh, wow.
Using the sword and the sound that it makes as a way to gauge distances and location.
That is some fucking daredevil shit right there.
I believe it.
Yeah. Oh my god.
But as somebody who has had eyes, I've picked up a lot of hobbies that I couldn't do without them.
Yeah,
and I have actually learned American Sign Language.
Oh, that's super cool.
I'm not super good at it, but like, I do know it. So I've been interacting with the community of people that can't like hear and such before. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be that much of a transition compared to not being able to see.
I haven't played Ocarina of Time in a really long time, but is that sword white with a red tip? Because that would be perfect.
God damn it. No.
Wow. Like I said, Daredevil. Super Daredevil.
I know, right? Like, seriously. I would rather get a tattoo on my tongue than my ears.
Ooh.
I think it would hurt more, but I think it would be cooler.
Why would you rather get
pierced?
Where
did tongue come from?
Right? That's where I'm at. Where did tongue come from?
Oh,
because it was eyes and ears.
Oh, it was eyes and ears. Sorry. I don't know where. No, I don't know where tongue came from either.
In front of you.
Have you been sampling boozes along with Jesse? Well,
more than usual. Have you met me? Yeah. I never stopped sampling boozes. I don't. I honestly, somewhere I got taste in there somehow. I don't know. I would. I think I find an eyebrow piercing to be really interesting, but I gotta go with the classic earrings.
Sure.
I feel like I would be interested in getting both, but I feel like me personally, I think an earring would look better on me. I just don't know. I don't think I could rock the eyebrow. I think
for an eye piercing, like the higher your eyebrows are, the more effective it is to me.
Personally, I think more people can rock an eyebrow piercing than they think. Honestly. I think about anybody can rock one. Like earrings take a particular like aesthetic, but I feel like anybody can get a barbell in the eyebrow and it'll feel right, you know?
I agree with that, but I wouldn't mind. I've been wanting to get an ear cuff for a while.
I think you definitely have more options on the ears as well.
Yeah.
I did get my ears pierced, and I have since, like, I got them pierced when I was 7.
Oh, wow.
Because I really wanted it, and then, like, yeah. That was unpleasant, and I didn't like it because there were needles involved.
Weird.
But yeah, like after a while, I just let my ear holes close up.
Sure.
Because I, number one, have a nickel allergy. Because of course I do.
Right.
Why wouldn't I be allergic to that as well?
Surprise.
But also, it just
was my Mother's Day present.
Aww.
Just a bag of nickels.
A bag of nickels.
God damn it. Fuck.
Yeah, Jenna just let all of the holes in her ears close. She's just got smooth discs there now.
Yep.
Just blank.
That way she doesn't have to listen to us.
I'm sorry, what?
It's okay, yet, Jenna. We'll give you a sword with a red tip.
And yet, Salsa, she still manages not to talk over you.
Oh, James! James, you're gonna call Salsa out on this bullshit? Because I got news for you, friend.
Yeah.
This is not a Salsa issue. I mean, it is also a Salsa issue, but it is not exclusively a Salsa issue. All right.
You know, James, yeah, I heard this from somewhere, I can't remember, but it's not just a you issue.
Oh. Huh, you don't say. I'm glad somebody finally told me.
I haven't talked over Mom once.
That's because you're a better human being than my co-hosts.
Well, that's just accurate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are both assholes.
All right.
Both of you.
So I'm going
I'm
here.
I'm supposed to be the mean one. Whatever.
I'm going to say if I had to wear an assistive device for one or the other, I think glasses are more comfortable and more usual. But I've seen people with cochlear implants someplace loud or shitty or whatever, and they can just like...
Just take them out. Boop.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear your bullshit anymore.
At karaoke nights, seems like a superpower.
Oh my god, it would be it would be such a beautiful diss to have somebody talking at you and you just be like...
oh yeah, no. As a pow move, to just be like, baby, I love you, I'm sorry, come back to me, I'll never hurt you again, and just be like, click.
Hug out your cochlear. Click.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
No, that would be okay for power moves. I'm going ear.
All right.
Is that or do you think that
No, no more Hawkeye? Context, James.
Okay.
No, like we've Hawkeye played this better. Game.
We...
Oh, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I also like Hawkeye better. That's still ear. Doesn't matter. Keep going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did Justice say?
I'd rather lose my ears.
Okay. All right. Question number two. Rap and what was that?
What? It's my daughter. We're related.
I was clapping.
No, I heard some noise or something. Anyway, question number two: rap and country or jazz and dubstep?
Country is Old Town Road.
I mean,
is it?
Jazz.
I mean, anything having to do with dubstep is
awesome.
Why?
Awesome.
You had half.
I mean, maybe it's just because maybe it's just because of the generation that I've grown up in. But like, I can dig some dubstep. There's a lot of dubstep out there that I think is just garbage noise, just white noise. Like, I just think it's like there's nothing artistic in this. But there's a lot of stuff that I've listened to where I'm like, man, this is actually...
Yeah.
This sounds like music. Wow.
Jessa.
I do agree with Jessa. Yeah.
And I feel like it's like techno from the late 90s and early 2000s. Or just like fucking anything and everything had a fucking techno remix, and most of it was just a DJ playing the same hot loop that they made on a Mac in 5 minutes for like 2 hours. And then at some point they play the Tetris theme and everybody goes fucking nuts. yeah, and it's disappointing. But there is good techno, and I think there's good dubstep. I think there's good art. You know, it doesn't mean that it's all good. Yeah. So,
There's nothing that's all good.
No, yeah.
No.
No.
Absolutely. And there's nothing that's all bad, except for Nazis.
That's true.
Yeah.
And dubstep.
You sure have chosen a hill to die on, haven't you?
Oh yeah, definitely. Nazis and dubstep. That's my concept album right there.
Okay. Featuring zero dubstep and zero Nazis.
Nazis and dubstep. Featuring zero Nazis or dubstep. That is a fantastic film, right?
Oh,
that is a great
film.
That is good. That's my autobiography right there.
All right.
Mm.
Which pairing works best together?
I think rap and country.
I was going to go jazz and dubstep.
Because the thing is if you try to do dubstep like you do jazz, you get white noise.
Hmm.
Honestly. And that's the thing, is if you try to do country like you do rap, you get some really good shit.
That's true.
But if you try to do jazz, or if you try to do dubstep like you do jazz, doesn't work. Doesn't work at all.
I feel like dubstep is kind of the jazz of the recent millennia. Like it's redefining what people think of as music in a weird way.
Isn't it an offshoot of techno? And we've had techno.
Yeah.
It's not like the electronic noises are new.
That's true.
I just felt old. My daughter consistently makes me feel old. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Funny, because I feel old compared to a lot of people my age, because I don't participate in a lot of our tomfoolery.
Because you were born a 40-year-old woman.
Born a 40-year-old, yeah.
We've talked about this.
Yeah.
You know that you being born a 40-year-old woman is a thing that we reference on this podcast frequently.
Oh, yeah.
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 All right.
So, I don't think I hid that from you.
Yeah, I would say... I would be interested to hear some really good jazz dubstep.
Same.
I'd like to hear that.
I'm in the
that.
Same place.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be interested in that, but I'm not holding my breath. question number 3. Local or remote? Remote.
The wording remote, I feel like it gives too much away.
Oh?
Because, like...
I don't know if you've met this person. I'm sure you have met them, actually. But
the thing is when you say local, I can think of a lot of different things that are local. Like, you think local brewing, you think local sports, you think local, like, businesses. When you say remote, I think you're doing something in a different place. It's not like you're saying local versus export, or local versus like out of town. You're saying remote.
Sure.
That's fair.
It immediately, like, puts my mind in a certain headspace, right?
Yeah. I think
so. Do you change the channel by getting up over to the TV and flipping it, or do you use a remote? God, no! Get out of my head, James! Get out of my head.
I was going to say,
or let me out of yours. One or the other.
When I find the exit, I'll let you know.
You're coming with me.
Yeah, just me there at the door. Take me with you. My TV growing up had dials.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Remote.
Although I think, yeah, we got a remote for our TV pretty fucking early on growing up, I think. It was one of the super presents from the grandparents for mom.
Ooh.
I think I was in college before I used TV remote.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
What year did you go to college, Salsa?
The first time, 2000.
Sure.
19-dickety-2. We had to say dickety because the Kaiser stole the zero.
So yeah, Jessa was born in 2000. So I'm like, yeah, that lines up.
Yeah.
Jessa, have you ever had a TV without a remote? I'm curious.
Yeah, because Dad lost the remote all the fucking time.
Okay.
There yep. was I this, distinctly this makes sense. Remember my father forgetting the remote control for the television in the freezer.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
His talent.
That is not the first time the remote control has ended up in a refrigerator, by the way. That happened when he and I were living together.
I believe it. Because the thing is, he takes the remote and he gets up and he does something else and he sets it down.
He gets up to grab a beer or something.
And then he doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ends up going through the pots and pans cycle in the dishwasher. Yes,
there have been plenty of times where I've had to get up and go over to the
computer,
go over to the monitor, and like click the buttons on the side.
You are Generation Z, aren't you?
What a
my god!
What a hellish ordeal.
She just called it a monitor.
Television monitor.
It's just...
it is.
I stand
now.
By it. Yeah.
That's you can. That's what it is nowadays.
You can definitely stand
yeah.
by that. Just the terminology is definitely a generational thing.
She has to stand by it because her dad lost the remote.
The television is built to handle TV, right?
Yeah.
Something that can do multiple things, that's a monitor. You can use that as a device for your computer.
Ooh.
That's
ignited.
That is actually a fucking good distinction. Because I can use my TV as a monitor. Fuck. Oh, goddamn.
Can you use old tubes?
I would still say it's on the side of the screen. I still would have said TV screen.
Sure.
Monitor.
Yeah, I would have said screen too, but I think that is definitely a generational thing. I think Jessa has a very valid point.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah,
no argument there.
But I'm old. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think anybody who says screen was around for the time when they went from being pea soup green to having five colors. That's the...
I'm just
anybody that was around for the cathode ray period of time.
Didn't we have what was that really big one that we had?
Oh, the projection TV.
Yeah. Rear projection TVs. You can't play Duck Hunt on them.
No, we couldn't. Here's the thing. I want you to listen to this. We had a 55-inch rear projection TV.
Holy shit. That weighed 12,000 pounds.
Yeah, that was, I think, Salsa, you may have gotten to see it when we were with Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And it just took up like a fucking quarter of the living room.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, it was huge.
It was
massive.
Behemoth.
It was so cool though.
It really was. Yeah.
Really risk on the top of that thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was furniture.
You probably couldn't because it was slanted, but like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
But it was as tall as my shoulder. Honestly, it went up to my shoulder.
My daycare provider had a tube TV that was built into a piece of furniture.
Okay.
It had a record player on the other side.
Oh my
God. Oh yeah.
God. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what a record player is?
Yes, I know what a record player is.
Yeah, no, you...
Lionel's not that out
when
of
we...
style.
Yeah. When we moved into the house that we lived in that we just moved out of, it had one of those consoles with the TV in the middle and the record on one side and the radio on the other side.
I love that.
We wished it worked, but we tried it, didn't work, unfortunately.
Oh, so I'm helping you get a record player like that.
We weren't going to bother with it. So.
Fair enough. Yeah.
It wasn't ours. We don't know what happened to it. It disappeared, but.
Yeah.
I missed mine.
Anyway.
Was the question again?
Right.
I'm going local or remote?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Oh, right. Gosh. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go local. Shop local.
Okay.
I'm going to go local too, because I prefer seeing people face to face. Even if I'm more of an introvert, I would always prefer talking to someone locally than doing it remotely.
All right.
I should point out at this point in time that each of the numbers has been delineated differently from the questions.
Oh, God. It's amazing.
So it was number one with just a space, two had a comma after it, three had a dash after it, four has a colon after it, and five is a V. So
the best.
That's a thing.
My friend.
So there's some low-level salsa trolling going on here.
I am delighted.
One of my favorite game series of all times has a similar naming convention. Saints Row.
Ah, yeah.
It goes Saints Row 2, Saints Row the 3rd, and then Saints Row IV.
Yep.
Yes.
All right, question.
All right, what do we got?
Number four.
Chris.
White or yolk?
Okay.
Huh.
Well, I'm definitely thinking eggs.
Any other interpretation other than eggs?
Yeah, right. I just assumed James would do the hard work on that one. So, me looking at eggs. Yeah.
Well, yolk. Like there's an ox, there's a yolk for oxen, but that's spelled differently. That's YOKE.
Right.
YOLK. I really can't think of any other interpretation for that.
There's got to be something that, like, when it is revealed to us, we're all going to be like,
I mean,
right?
That's,
like,
it's kind of the
or it's just about eggs, and it's just there to fuck with us.
I'm pretty sure it's eggs.
Seems par for the course, yeah. When I was young, I didn't like egg yolk.
I like hard-boiled eggs. I didn't like the yolk.
Yeah.
But just like fried eggs, the runny yolk with like toast dipped into it, that was absolute
that was
best. But hard-boiled, I didn't like the yolk in hard-boiled eggs. Like Easter, I would always try to surreptitiously get rid of the yolk. My parents would make me eat it. I think if I'm having a fried egg and you don't have the yolk there, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
Like it's gotta be like it, that's where the flavor is. Like I will eat a fried egg yolk and be happy, but if I eat just fried egg whites, it's missing something.
I don't
do
like
you.
That one.
Prefer a meringue or a custard?
Oh, shit.
Damn. Nice.
Wow.
Custard.
Fair enough.
Custard. Absolutely.
Custard. Custard all the way.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I do love a good meringue.
Yeah.
Especially
but
if
custard's
kind of
on the other side.
Kind of,
yeah.
But custard. I will definitely go with a custard.
I'm familiar enough with either, but I got to go with custard. It just sounds better to me.
Me knowing what I know about you, which is a good amount, I'm going to say you'd probably prefer a custard.
As far as it pertains to eggs themselves, I generally prefer the whites in all occasions. Though, like, if it's missing the yolk, it doesn't feel the same. Like,
yeah,
if I were to bite into a hard-boiled egg and the yolk is just absent, it feels wrong.
Man, that would be so fucked up.
surgically remove the yolks from your hard-boiled eggs.
I mean, I do that, but only when making deviled eggs, and then I put it back.
Hey, Jenna, do you want to eat a dozen eggs?
No.
I find that...
No, wait. Let James finish this joke.
What if I cut them in half and mix the insides up with spices?
Fuck yes, give me that. Sorry,
I find
go ahead.
That, no, I didn't realize he was telling a joke.
It's a meme-based thing. Timing.
I find that a meringue...
Was that even recorded earlier? Did you say that when Craig wasn't here? I don't know if you set that joke up on the podcast or not. Or if that's just complete non sequitur.
No, apropos of nothing. Yeah.
Because as soon as I said, you know, secret to comedy, and Salsa says no, and I'm like, I can tell. Ben Salsa introduced the podcast, but he always clips it before, unless he doesn't this time, to be a complete asshole.
Now you're giving him ideas.
I'll let him figure it out. So,
oh, I will have forgotten by the time I've clipped this together tomorrow.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm so happy right now.
God damn it. That's amazing.
I was actively waiting for that.
Oh, the payoff.
This is the best moment.
Oh, the payoff.
I find that a meringue will collapse really easily, but a custard is last to stand.
Oh God! Oh.
Wow! Oh. Wow! You just made me pay for that right away. Okay, yep. That's fine. Whatever. Fuck you then.
I think we've gotten all we can out of that one.
Yeah. Okay. Question number five.
General
funny
humor.
Or pedantic.
Ooh.
Oh shit.
I think funny Eric over pedantic Eric. No offense, pedantic Eric.
I've spent more time with funny Eric, but I do love a pedantic Eric.
I love a pedantic Eric. I'm gonna go with a funny Eric.
I have known pedantic Eric longer. Much longer. Like, I remember a pedantic Eric from, like, when I was, like, 10, I think.
Pedantic Eric became pedantic Eric before we met funny Eric.
Yeah.
Like, he was already pedantic Eric.
He's the
OG
nickname
other Eric then.
Yeah.
He is the elder Eric.
Yeah. Oh, God. I don't want this to be about the Erics. I don't want to choose.
Yeah, no, personally, I don't want
to pick sides. Honestly, no, I am switching to pedantic. Just thinking of the different ways this could go, I am switching to pedantic.
Reasons? Or just for playing the odds?
Pedantic Eric has a hashtag.
Really?
There is also loyalty.
I believe we gave him a nickname. Snided.
Yeah, Hash Brown Knighted. We gave him a moniker a long time ago. I suppose that we owe him something. There's three. I've been winnowing down the possible meanings in my head, trying to figure out what this could mean, and I haven't figured out which one I like the most. But of the ones that I like the most, I feel like pedantic has been coming up trumps in more of them. So, I don't want to say that this is what I think it is, but play
here's
the odds.
My context I'm going with.
Okay.
When James interrupts somebody, is it more likely to be funny?
Oh, no. Okay.
Or pedantic?
It's more likely to be pedantic.
I'm going with
Is it more likely to be an attempt at humor?
I'll even take an attempt at humor.
Okay, then that's the one.
I mean, personally, the way that it jumped out to me immediately was, what's like, what's the better response to something? To be funny or to be pedantic? And personally, I would prefer to always attempt to be funny.
I'm switching it to funny. Yourself.
Yeah, that's why you beat me at Ville. That's
See, I was trying to be funny. I recommend that.
Ah, well, I'll try to brush up on that.
All right. Well, that is all of them.
All right.
So
we get context now.
Uh huh. No sign out on this one. So we open up, and it says, "No, really. I've been absolutely out of energy, both physically, mentally, and emotionally. This is the best you're going to get." Womp womp. Feel better, Dennis?
We love you, sweetie.
I'm really sorry. I wish that utter being utter knobs gives you some spoons.
Yeah. I'm a knob.
Yep.
I see you've played Knobby Spoonie before.
I was not ready for that.
All right. Question number one. Ears or eyes? Ooh. Which do you enjoy more during summer picnics? Potato salad or corn on the cob?
Oh, goddamn.
Holy
Oh, goddamn.
Oh, that's really good.
Potato good job, salad. Dennis. You have managed to out James.
That was intense. Whoa. I'm all
No, that's real good.
Holy fuck.
Honestly, right. I'm sticking with my answer. Corn on the cob is so good.
I might have to switch to potato salad for a picnic specifically.
Yeah.
If we're talking grilling,
mm-hmm.
like, and I know a picnic can include grilling, but it does not have to.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, personally, I prefer. I can eat an ear of corn raw. I don't prefer it. Let's be honest.
Oh.
But I could do it.
Yeah.
Potato salad, I just doesn't. I'm not a fan of it.
Oh, I love me some potato salad.
I haven't
salad.
Had one that I enjoy.
Oh no! See, I've been to potato salad bars. Like you can really go crazy. You can really, like, potato salads are just as varied as Bloody Marys are. You can get
but it takes a lot
German,
more to get drunk.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, you just got to let it sit for a really long time, and the potato turns to vodka. But no, you can go more German and get the vinegariness in there. And, you know, a little bacony stuff in there, or you can go, you know, with the creamy potato salad with mustard and, you know, the chives and
I think I'm making potato salad tomorrow.
I was about to
say. Potato salad's
real good. I
want to
say that I didn't pick up some potato salad. You know what? Potato salad, as long as there are no raisins in it.
Who the fuck hurt you? What? Who would pull... Why would you ever? Oh my god!
I mean, I feel like that's corn on the cob. As long as there's no ants on it, like
no. There are people that put raisins into potato salad. This is well-known thing there was a joke made about it on a segment that I think it was SNL did for Black Jeopardy.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh my god, though. Oh.
Like, this was not a one-time person thing. This is a thing that is done often enough to merit its own joke on a racial comedy segment.
That's sad.
It is very sad.
Ugh.
So I feel justified in saying as long as there are no raisins in it.
Yeah, that's fair.
No, warning, I'm going with
no reason.
I feel like there's more variety possibilities with potato salad. I'm going with that.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh shit, a lotte though.
I'm just going to disagree. You said bacon in as it relates to potato salad, and my immediate thought was, why would you do that to bacon?
Oh, honey.
I'm just not a potato salad person, I guess.
I think I remember fine. Trying
you
to
like
get
dubstep.
You in a...
Nobody's perfect.
God. Wow. Wow.
Oh.
I just had two
Next
responses
time I drink
to that.
The beer and throw up, I'll think of you.
You know what? Next time I have a beer and throw up, I'll think of me too.
That's how I do it. Actually, that's what makes me throw up.
I just had two responses to Salsa insulting my daughter. There was the initial mama bear response of, "Cool, puff up. How dare you do that to my daughter?" And then there was the second response of, "But my daughter is a fully capable adult and can take care of her goddamn self." And then she did. So, pretty okay. I'm doing all right.
You had an emotional roller coaster tonight, Jenna.
Whee!
Well, I can't see.
Any more thoughts?
The rest of these, because that sets a high bar.
Mm-hmm. All right, question number two. Rap and country or jazz and dubstep?
Okay.
The music that composes the score to your biopic. Pick a pair.
Ooh, shit.
Just sticking with rap and country.
It's gonna be jazz and dubstep mostly because there is a game that I love, I adore with all of my heart, and it's called Gunpoint. It is a stealth puzzler.
Yeah. It's a good
where
one.
You relink the wiring in buildings to suit your various stealth needs.
It's a platformer.
And it's it's very good and it's dear to my heart. And it does this wonderful thing where the score for the game is jazz. But when you enter cross-link mode, which allows you to switch the wires around, it turns into a techno jazz version of that song. And it is so good.
Yeah.
Nope, you sold me. I was already on this, but yeah, that's exactly what I want.
Cool.
Yeah, that's pretty compelling. I think she's
I grew up on a farm, so the first 18 years of my life would be country, and then I moved away, and it would be rap from that point on, I think.
Fair.
That would absolutely be, for me, my life.
Growing up in the 90s.
Actually, I would have a lot of jazz, except for any time I hit anxiety, which would then be the dubstep. We're going back and forth a lot on this score, man.
Nothing makes sense. Everything is loud.
Yep.
And loud and confusing. All right.
Loud
question
confusing
number
is the name of my new heavy metal band.
Question number three, local or remote? It's date night, and there's not a goddamn pandemic killing everyone around you.
Ooh.
Are you staying in and cooking, or going out to eat?
Going out to eat.
Oh, we're going out.
I'm going out.
Oh, I'm going out. Date night, heading the fuck out.
I am not a chef. If you're coming to my place looking for something romantic, you're not about to get it.
I hope you like ramen, because...
I will,
and I don't mean classy ramen.
Like for special occasions, or just because I'm, you know, feeling it, I will absolutely bake like a sticky toffee pudding, or you know, pierogies, or you know, kolaches or whatever. Like I will bake stuff, but for date night. We're going somewhere fancy.
Yeah. There's kind of a, especially now after the pandemic, kind of a vibe to it.
Yeah.
But even beforehand, and let's be clear, my boyfriend is an incredible cook. And I love that he cooks for me on a regular. Salsa, did you hear about the Wagyu steak?
Yes, I did.
Oh my God, yeah. Yes, and that was lovely. But we are also in the middle of a pandemic. And that was a shared experience, but it's not like to call that a date is kind of like saying that we date all the time, which isn't horribly inaccurate, but it's not a date night.
Hmm.
Is kind of my distinction in there.
Okay.
I hate
to, like, Joe and I are always being good to each other, unless we're fucking around in jest. But like, we're always doing sweet things when we're hanging out. And this is getting sappy. So anyway, sushi date night. Yeah, done.
I hate to break this up, but I just finished off the Dr. McGillicuddy's bottle, and it started tasting like cough syrup. So it goes down one.
Oh,
I'm sorry. That's fair. No.
That's tough, but that's fair.
I don't mind cough syrup horribly, but you can't do that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, it's fair.
You got to mix it with Coke to make a cherry Coke.
That sounds very good.
It absolutely is. Yes, it is. It's delightful. Okay.
Yeah, I would say remote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Question number four: white or yolk? Ooh. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Which part of the egg, when mixed with butter, is better? Mayonnaise or hollandaise?
This is such a good question.
That is a very fun
question. I was doing
question.
Really good with meringue and custard. God,
no, that was fantastic.
Very close.
I'm not sold on either.
I love them both.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you usually make mayonnaise with oil, though?
Oil and egg white. Like
Yeah, oil and egg white. Uh-huh. I thought you said when mixed with butter, though.
You can make it with butter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You just need a fat.
I haven't. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's usually made with oil, but you can't, as long as it's a fat, you can emulsify it.
A fat, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that makes sense. God damn it. What was the full question again?
Which part of the egg, when mixed with butter, is better? Mayonnaise or hollandaise?
I don't like either. Mm. When I order BLT, I want like just enough mayo, because if you go overboard, it's too much.
Oh, shit.
Mayonnaise overpowers if you have too much of it.
Oh, I disagree. I eat my French fries with mayonnaise. Agreed. I don't skimp either. I big fucking dollops of mayonnaise with my fries is way superior than ketchup any fucking day of the year. Mayonnaise is essential to a burger, a sandwich.
That might be why you didn't like all of my pasta salads growing up.
I'm not a mayo person.
I just made this very easy thing for you to just take a scoop of and eat, and why do you hate it? I'm so sad.
Yeah, no, my wife's pasta salads are more vinegary, and I like them mayo-y.
I'm a mayo-y person,
too. Is it consoling if I tell you that it's not you, it's the mayonnaise?
It actually helps a little bit.
Is that
healing
to you?
it helps me through some of my concerns as a parent. Yes, thank you. I appreciate that.
I have to go hollandaise.
On the other hand...
I'm going to go hollandaise, though, too, because hollandaise is fucking incredible.
Yeah, if we're going out for breakfast to a breakfast place, 99% of the time, I'm getting eggs benedict.
Yep.
Because hollandaise is delicious. But I also, as stated, really like mayonnaise. This is fucking hard.
I'm going to say mayonnaise for a series of reasons, many of which have been covered already. But I can eat asparagus without hollandaise. But...
I'm sorry, say that again. What?
I can eat asparagus without hollandaise, which is a very common... thing to put
asparagus with hollandaise sauce drizzled on it.
It's delicious.
Oh no, it's amazing. I just am having problems processing an inability to eat asparagus in all of its glorious forms, because it's asparagus and it's glorious.
I could not eat a sandwich without mayonnaise. I'm fairly sure.
I could, but it would be a sad sandwich.
Right.
I mean, I've done butter.
Yeah.
Actually, what I used to do back before the whole dairy fiasco of 2010, I would get spreadable cheeses.
Okay.
So you get like a soft brie and you use a soft brie on that. You put some fucking turkey and some spinach.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking like even if it's on regular white.
I know some good Borsalon cheese or something like that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lovely way to do up a sandwich.
All right.
I recommend it. Try it. Because I can't anymore.
I would say that mayonnaise also makes a grilled cheese sandwich fucking immaculate.
Oh, absolutely better.
You spread it on the outside and that's what you put on the pan and it's perfect.
Yeah, no,
it does
I got
help
it
with the consistency of the bread, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But no, I'm going hollandaise partially because I can't make hollandaise. I've tried it. It's sad. And so I kind of want it just a little bit more.
Hmm. Okay.
I have made mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
It's tedious, but absolutely doable. Yeah. So
my wife makes a homemade hollandaise that is. Ooh. Oh.
We've put all right, it I'm coming over
on
for
our
breakfast.
Asparagus and stuff. Oh yeah, we've put it on our asparagus and things like that, and it's just it's so good. But yeah, again, going back to like the potato salad and the pasta salads, you need the mayonnaise. Otherwise, it's just I got to go with mayo.
Yeah, otherwise it's
like
just dry
in and of it. If you're going purely by a dollop of mayonnaise and a dollop of hollandaise. The hollandaise is gonna because it's got the lemoniness in there and it's just perky. Mm-hmm. But based on usefulness, mayonnaise.
Yeah,
I would say mayo is more useful, but hollandaise. Oh god, it's such a delicious treat.
A little bit of hollandaise goes a lot farther than a little bit of mayo.
Ooh, that's
very
a good point. Holy shit!
Yeah.
That's an exceptionally good
point. And this is from someone who doesn't like too much mayo.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think too much mayo is a thing.
I don't.
Which apparently is not a common feeling here. But I feel like a little bit of hollandaise just goes way farther than a little bit of mayo ever could.
That's fair.
And I gotta stick with hollandaise.
God. Both are delicious.
One of those. Don't make me choose. But
it's a real.
No, I'm gonna stop changing my mind and just stick with where I'm at and go with mayonnaise.
Fair.
All right. Question number 5. When you are explaining a joke, is it funny or pedantic?
When I am explaining a joke, it's pedantic. And that's a shame.
When I am explaining a joke, it is pedantic.
Yeah, pedantic.
Because if I have to explain a joke, I'm doing it in an unfunny way.
Very much so.
I actually think it's funny when I do it.
I think it is funny when you do it.
Yeah.
I concur with that.
Because I've already accepted that we're at the point of no return, so I may as well fuck with it.
Yep.
If you don't get my joke, then that's already happened. There's nothing I can do in being pedantic to help with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can be humorous in explaining it, then I might be able to recoup some losses.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say yeah.
I definitely think there's something to be said for the persona of being, well, you see, it's funny because, and I think that a lot of the times that carries a joke on its own.
Yeah.
No.
So like, I wish I was funnier when I did it, but I don't think that I am. I think I'm pedantic when I do it.
No, I have had too many dead serious conversations with people about comedy theory and philosophy. Sure. If I'm explaining a joke, it's going to be pedantic and serious. And you're going to get way more history of comedy than you ever expected.
I am going to say I have heard Jessa explain a joke. And I think it can be a little flip-floppy for her. I think sometimes you lean into it just enough to where it is funny.
But am I doing it in a way where funny is the goal, or is it funny because I commit to being pedantic?
See, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, and that's a very valid question.
Yeah.
Does it matter?
I think it does.
Because the question isn't what's your attempt? The question is it funny or pedantic?
¿Por qué no los dos?
But is it always pedantic and sometimes
funny? It's always
funny?
Pedantic and sometimes funny. I think that's
it's
I think
always
you're right
pedantic.
There.
Sometimes it's funny because it's pedantic, but it is right. Always pedantic.
Right.
That's fair.
I think I, okay. Yeah, I
no,
agree with that.
That's okay. Fair.
That's a all pretty right. Good call.
Dennis wraps this up by saying sod off wankers heart.
Well, thank you,
Dennis.
I was having
love
a nice
too.
Time on this podcast.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should be the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices so we don't have to jump back and forth between emails, and then give us the context so we know what the hell it is we're even arguing about. Does anybody have any shout-outs that they would like to out-shout?
Yeah. Yes.
Go ahead, James.
My thanks to Emily for introducing me to an absolutely amazing two-player game called Ib and Ob. It's adorable and super fucking fun.
It is absolutely adorable. You are not wrong. That is
yeah.
Super okay. Adorable.
You basically play as a gumdrop and a slightly taller gumdrop.
Yeah. That I feel like I've mentioned that one on the podcast before, but yeah, whatever.
So James, I've heard about this game called Ib and Ob.
God damn it.
There we go.
Son of a bitch.
Have you heard of DuckTales? Someone was telling me that it's really good.
Are we related or something?
We
Gosh.
Might be related. I don't know if I learned it from you or you learned it from me, though. That's
you
kind
were
the
one
question.
Who watched DuckTales, the new one.
Oh,
yes,
it's so
it
good.
Awesome.
There have been some fantastic remakes recently on various
yeah.
properties. And
yeah.
So happy about it.
There are also a lot of terrible ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I mean, yes.
We are in a current age where, like, the target demographic is incredibly nostalgic, and everybody's trying to cash in to various degrees of success.
Yeah,
oh, but She-Ra was incredible, though.
She-Ra
yeah.
was
She-Ra
absolutely
is
fantastic.
Though, is amazing.
That doesn't feel like it was rebooted for the old fans of it. I feel
no,
as,
it really
I feel
wasn't.
Like
yes
it was
and no.
For a modern audience.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have the time to get into this?
No, we really don't. We need to
we
do
really
another
don't.
Shout-out. Jenna.
I would like to give a shout out to Pabble and the cast that I got to perform with on Saturday, Don, Allison, Jen, Pabble and Kesson, just for a fucking amazing time, but especially Pabble for pulling it all together. It was so good to be on a stage, and with some of the best that the Twin Cities has to offer. It was so lovely. So shout out to Pabble.
Yeah.
Nice.
I am going to give my shout out to the cast and crew of the play It Goes Wrong that just wrapped at the Old Lux Theater. My wife and I went on a date and saw their closing night performance, and it was high fucking hilarious. The acting was great. The production was great. We were really impressed. We laugh our freaking asses off, and you all did a great job. Good on you. Jessa, do you have a shout out?
Yeah.
I have a weird one.
Hey,
go for it.
Right.
I would like to shout out the developer of Hot Dogs, Horseshoes, and Hand Grenades, which is a VR gun game, which I have never played, but the developer of the game is so transparent and straightforward and just such an all-around wonderful human being that I cannot help but like tune in to the devlogs of that game.
Okay. Nice.
Whenever they pop up on my feed.
All right.
And he is just such a delight, and it has provided me so much like wholesome energy during this time of everything is going to hell. Everything has been going to hell for about a year.
Yeah.
Oof.
And so that's where my shout out goes, because oh my gosh, he's just such a delightful person. And it really warms my heart in a time of need.
Aww.
All right. Good, good, good. All right. Does anybody have anything to plug?
I have things to plug.
I
do it.
Guess I do.
Jessa, do you want to go first? We have shared things to plug.
Yeah, we have shared things to plug, like family game night.
Every Wednesday at 6 p.m.
Every Wednesday at 6 p.m. You can tune into my mother's stream or my stream or my uncle's stream, and we will all be playing a family, well, not a family game, a game together as a family, thus it being called family game night. You see, it's funny because... all three of us are also branching out doing streaming things on our own time. I know my mother is doing various other things. She'll shout those out when it's her turn. I know my uncle is doing his own solo world of Valheim. Currently, we are doing Valheim for family game nights, but he is also playing it on his own on his channel. X-J-E-R-E, Jere, on Twitch. Go check him out. I am also currently playing through RimWorld, which is a delightful game. On my Twitch at Jezzered, JEZZARED. Nailed it. on Twitch. I assume I'll just send the links.
Yep. Right,
and they'll be there. Usually that's on Mondays. For the past like 3 weeks, it hasn't been. Because I am all over the place.
Well, what are you doing this Monday, Jessa?
This Monday, I'm currently recording on the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Never heard of it.
Oh, yes!
God damn it. The both of you.
But so, yes, usually that'll happen on Mondays. The week of recording, it's probably happening on Thursday. I don't know when these go up.
Tuesday.
Tuesday, but like tomorrow. Late Tuesday.
So yeah, it'll be happening this Thursday on the... Clicks calendar 24th of February. I should be doing that. I'm doing a run where we are a greedy corporation trying to take over the planet. And it has been a lot of fun thus far, so stop on by.
All right. Anyone else?
As Jessa said, family game night. But also tomorrow, as teased in the previous episode, I will be playing Prom with Tom.
Woo!
You might be too late to hear this, but why haven't you followed me anyway?
You missed out.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Right. But Prom with Tom, starting at 7:30 on Tuesday. And I believe we're going to have some guests, possibly a Jessa.
Yeah. I mean, that's my plan.
Woo.
Hopefully I don't oversleep like I did today for RimWorld. I decided to start those early. I should not have, I should not have made that decision.
Yeah. Maybe adjustments are in order.
Hmm.
But yeah, so Prom with Tom, Tuesday, 7:30. I think we're going to be doing those about once a month at this point. But so there's that. Also coming up, I am very excited for this one. On Thursday, March 3rd, the first annual Monster Science Awards.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Please elaborate. Not a magical... for the audience take, for mine. I want to know.
A magical star-studded gala evening of the very best in horrifying monstrosities of 2021. Join Reverend Matt and Alora Riley as they recognize all of the greatest achievements in monster creation and discovery of the year. Best paleontology, best monster toy, best kaiju material, best cryptozoology, and many, many more.
Mm.
Plus, awards will be accepted by a murderer's row of exceptional local theater talent, including Leslie Vincent, Sam Landman, Carolyn Poole, and more. I'm the more.
Your and friends.
I am. I'm and the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Matt.
You're Moorish?
No.
Both
Whoa.
Professor and Marianne.
No, there's actually, I know who is doing some of the acceptances, and it is a delightful grouping of people, so I recommend that. Also, formal wear encouraged, but certainly not required.
Fancy.
So there's a Facebook on that. So I'll get that over to you for the show notes. But yeah, first annual Monster Science Awards. It is going to be a hoot. The tickets are up and on sale. High recommend. I am super excited for this one.
Yeah.
So
it sounds like a fucking blast.
Oh, I lost my Monster Science mask. I have to go order another one.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I still got my shirt, though.
Yay. Yeah.
Anything else? No? All right. In that case, does anybody have any final thoughts?
Yes, I wanted to say bye-bye, love you, bye-bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who has been listening. Thank you to Dennis for sending in NAFES 5. If you would like to be a drop-off point for Jenna's wine, please contact her at Jenna@A1Podcast and let her know that you'll gladly collect a box of wine for her to pick up.
I'm going to chug the pickle vodka now.
All serious, though, on behalf of myself and, or sorry, thank you to our special guest, Jessa. Almost forgot. Sorry about that.
Ugh.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha. Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.